George Washington. Article from Wikipedia. The Free Encyclopedia. This recording is distributed under the terms of the GNU. Free documentation license available at http://www.gnu.org. George Washington, February 22, 1732 to December 14, 1799, was the first president of the United States, 1789 to 1797, and led the Continental Army to victory over the Kingdom of Great Britain in the American Revolutionary War, 1775 to 1783. Washington was chosen to be the commander-in-chief of the American Revolutionary Forces in 1775. The following year, he forced the British out of Boston, lost New York City, and crossed the Delaware River in New Jersey and defeated the surprised enemy units later that year. As a result of his strategy, revolutionary forces captured the two main British combat armies, Saratoga and Yorktown. Negotiating with Congress, the colonial states, and French allies, he held together a tenuous army and a fragile nation amid the threats of disintegration and failure. Following the end of the war in 1783, Washington retired to his plantation on Mount Vernon. Unsatisfied with the Articles of Confederation, he presided over the Philadelphia Convention that drafted the United States Constitution in 1787. Washington became President of the United States in 1789 and established many of the customs and usages of the new government's executive department. He sought to create a great nation, capable of surviving in a world torn asunder by war between Britain and France. His unilateral proclamation of neutrality of 1793 provided a basis for avoiding any involvement in foreign conflicts. He supported plans to build a strong central government by funding the national debt, implementing an effective tax system, and creating a national bank. Washington avoided the temptation of war and began a decade of peace with Britain via the Jay Treaty in 1795. He used his prestige to get it ratified over intense opposition from the Jeffersonians. Although never officially joining the Federalist Party, he supported its programs and was its inspirational leader. Washington's farewell address was a primer on Republican virtue and a stern warning against involvement in foreign wars. Washington is seen as a symbol of the United States and republicanism in practice. His devotion to civic virtue made him an exemplary figure among the early American politicians. Washington died in 1799, and in his funeral oration, Henry Lee said that of all Americans, he was first in war, first in peace, and first in the hearts of his countrymen. Washington has been consistently ranked by scholars as one of the greatest U.S. presidents. Early life. George Washington was born on February 22, 1732, the first son of Augustine Washington and his second wife, Mary Ball Washington, on the family's Pope's Creek estate near present-day Colonial Beach in Westmoreland County, Virginia. He was educated in the home by his father and older brother. In his youth, Washington worked as a surveyor and acquired what would become invaluable knowledge of the terrain around his native state of Virginia. Washington embarked upon a career as a planter and in 1748 was invited to help survey Baron Fairfax's lands west of the Blue Ridge. In 1749, he was appointed to his first public office, surveyor of newly created Culpeper County. And through his half-brother, Lawrence Washington, he became interested in the Ohio Company, which aimed to exploit western lands. In 1751, George and his half-brother traveled to Barbados, staying at Bush Hill House, hoping for an improvement in Lawrence's tuberculosis. This was the only time George Washington traveled outside what is now the United States. After Lawrence's death in 1752, George inherited part of his estate and took over some of Lawrence's duties as adjutant of the colony. Washington was appointed a district adjutant general in the Virginia militia in 1752, which made him Major Washington at the age of 20. He was charged with training the militia in the quarter assigned him. At age 21, in Fredericksburg, Washington became a master mason in the Organization of Freemasons, a fraternal organization that was a lifelong influence. In December 1753, Washington was detailed by Governor Robert Dinwiddie of Virginia to carry a British ultimatum to the French on the Ohio frontier. Washington assessed French military strength and intentions and delivered the message to the French at Fort Leboeuf in present-day Waterford, Pennsylvania. The message, which went unheeded, called for the French to abandon their development of the Ohio country, setting in motion two colonial powers toward worldwide conflict. Washington's report on the affair was widely read on both sides of the Atlantic. French and Indian War, Seven Years' War. In 1754, Dinwiddie commissioned Washington a lieutenant colonel and ordered him to lead an expedition to Fort Duquesne to drive out the French. With his American Indian allies led by Tannic Harrison, Washington led his troops ambushed by a French scouting party of some 30 men, led by Joseph Coulon de Jumonville. Washington and his troops were overwhelmed at Fort Necessity by a larger and better positioned French and Indian force. The terms of the surrender included a statement that Washington had assassinated the scouts and their leader at the Battle of Jumonville Glen. Released by the French, Washington returned to Virginia, where he resigned rather than accept demotion. In 1755, Washington was an aide to British General Edward Braddock on the ill-fated Monongahela expedition. This was a major effort to retake the Ohio country. While Braddock was killed and the expedition ended in disaster, Washington distinguished himself as the hero of the Monongahela. While Washington's role during the battle has been debated, biographer Joseph Ellis asserts that Washington rode back and forth across the battlefield, rallying the remnant of the British and Virginian forces to a retreat. Subsequent to this action, Washington was given a difficult frontier command in the Virginia Mountains and was rewarded by being promoted to colonel and named commander of all Virginian forces. In 1758, Washington participated as a brigadier general in the Forbes expedition that prompted French evacuation of Fort Duquesne and the British establishment of Pittsburgh. Later that year, Washington resigned from active military service and spent the next 16 years as a Virginia planter and politician. Between the Wars. George Washington was introduced to Martha Dandridge Custis, a widow who was living at the White House Plantation on the south shore of the Pamunkey River in New Kent County, Virginia, by friends of Martha when George was on leave from the French and Indian War. George only visited her home twice before proposing marriage to her 3 weeks after they met. George and Martha were each 27 years old when they married on January 6, 1759 at her home, known as the White House, which shared its name with the future presidential mansion. The newlywed couple moved to Mount Vernon, where he took up the Tuckahoe life of a genteel planter and political figure. They had a good marriage, and together they raised her two children by her previous marriage to Daniel Park Custis, John Park Custis, and Martha Park Custis, affectionately called Jackie and Patsy. George and Martha never had any children together. An earlier bout with smallpox followed by tuberculosis may have left him sterile. Later, the Washingtons raised two of Mrs. Washington's grandchildren, Eleanor Park Custis, Nellie, and George Washington Park Custis, Washy, after their father died in 1781. Washington's marriage to a wealthy widow greatly increased his property holdings and social standing. He acquired one-third of the 18,000-acre Custis estate upon his marriage and managed the remainder on behalf of Martha's children. He frequently purchased additional land in his own name and was granted land in what is now West Virginia as a bounty for his service in the French and Indian War. By 1775, Washington had doubled the size of Mount Vernon to 6,500 acres, with over 100 slaves. As a respected military hero and large landowner, he held local office and was elected to the Virginia Provincial Legislature, the House of Burgesses, beginning in 1758. And he served as a justice of Fairfax and held court in Alexandria, Virginia, between 1760 and 1774. Washington first took a leading role in the growing colonial resistance in 1769 when he introduced a proposal drafted by his friend George Mason, which called for Virginia to boycott imported English goods until the Townsend Acts were repealed. Parliament repealed the acts in 1770. Washington also took an active interest in helping his fellow citizens. On September 21, 1771, Washington wrote a letter to Neil Jameson on behalf of Jonathan Plowman, Jr., a merchant from Baltimore whose ship had been seized for exporting non-permitted items by the Boston frigate, and requested his help toward recovery of Plowman's ship. Washington regarded the passage of the Intolerable Acts in 1774 as, quote, an invasion of our rights and privileges, end of quote. In July 1774, he chaired the meeting at which the Fairfax Resolves were adopted, which called for, among other things, the convening of a Continental Congress. In August, he attended the First Virginia Convention, where he was selected as a delegate to the First Continental Congress. American Revolution. After fighting broke out in April 1775, Washington appeared at the Second Continental Congress in military uniform, signaling that he was prepared for war. Washington had the prestige, the military experience, the charisma and military bearing, the reputation of being a strong patriot, and he was supported by the South, especially Virginia. Although he did not explicitly seek the office of commander and even claimed he was not equal to it, there was no serious competition. Congress created the Continental Army on June 14, 1775. The next day, on the nomination of John Adams of Massachusetts, Washington was appointed Major General and elected by Congress to be Commander-in-Chief. Washington assumed command of the Continental Army in the field at Cambridge, Massachusetts in July 1775, during the ongoing siege of Boston. Realizing his army's desperate shortage of gunpowder, Washington asked for new sources. British arsenals were raided, including some in the Caribbean, and some manufacturing was attempted. A barely adequate supply, about 2.5 million pounds, was obtained by the end of 1776, mostly from France. Washington reorganized the army during the long standoff and forced the British to withdraw by putting artillery on Dorchester Heights overlooking the city. The British evacuated Boston, and Washington moved his army to New York City. Although negative toward the Patriots and the Continental Congress, British newspapers routinely praised Washington's personal character and qualities as a military commander. Moreover, both sides of the aisle in Parliament found the American general's courage, endurance, and attentiveness to the welfare of his troops worthy of approbation, and examples of the virtues they and most other Britons found wanting in their own commanders. Washington's refusal to become involved in politics buttressed his reputation as a man fully committed to the military mission at hand and above the factional fray. In August 1776, British General William Howe launched a massive naval and land campaign designed to seize New York and offer a negotiated settlement. The Continental Army under Washington engaged the enemy for the first time as the Army of the newly declared independent United States at the Battle of Long Island, the largest battle of the entire war. This and several other British victories sent Washington scrambling out of New York and across New Jersey, leaving the future of the Continental Army in doubt. On the night of December 25, 1776, Washington staged a counterattack, leading the American forces across the Delaware River to capture nearly 1,000 Hessians in Trenton, New Jersey. Washington was defeated at the Battle of Brandywine on September 11, 1777. On September 26th, Howe outmaneuvered Washington and marched into Philadelphia unopposed. Washington's army unsuccessfully attacked the British garrison at Germantown in early October. Meanwhile, Burgoyne, out of reach from help from Howe, was trapped and forced to surrender his entire army at Saratoga, New York. As a result of this battle, France entered the war as an open ally of the Americans, turning the Revolution into a major worldwide war. Washington's loss of Philadelphia prompted some members of Congress to discuss removing Washington from command. This episode failed after Washington's supporters rallied behind him. Washington's army encamped at Valley Forge in December 1777, where it stayed for the next 6 months. Over the winter, 2,500 men out of 10,000 died from disease and exposure. The next spring, however, the army emerged from Valley Forge in good order, thanks in part to a full-scale training program supervised by Baron von Steuben, a veteran of the Prussian General Staff. The British evacuated Philadelphia in 1778 and returned to New York City. Meanwhile, Washington remained with his army outside New York, and in the summer of 1779, at Washington's direction, General John Sullivan, in retaliation for Iroquois and Tory attacks against American settlements earlier in the war, carried out a decisive scorched earth campaign that destroyed at least 40 Iroquois villages throughout what is now upstate New York. He delivered the final blow in 1781, after a French naval victory allowed American and French forces to trap a British army in Virginia. The surrender at Yorktown on October 17, 1781, marked the end of fighting. Though known for his successes in the war and his life that followed, Washington only won 3 of the 9 battles that he fought. In March 1783, Washington used his influence to disperse a group of army officers who had threatened to confront Congress regarding their back pay. The Treaty of Paris, signed that September, recognized the independence of the United States. Washington disbanded his army, and on November 2nd, gave an eloquent farewell address to his soldiers. On November 25th, the British evacuated New York City, and Washington and the governor took possession. At France's Tavern on December 4th, Washington formally bade his officers farewell, and on December 23rd, 1783, he resigned his commission as commander-in-chief, emulating the Roman general Cincinnatus, an exemplar of the Republican ideal of citizen leadership who rejected power. During this period, the United States was governed under the Articles of Confederation without a president. Governmental organization was different from the present form. Washington's retirement to Mount Vernon was short-lived. He made an exploratory trip to the western frontier in 1784, was persuaded to attend the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia in the summer of 1787, and was unanimously elected president of the convention. He participated little in the debates involved, though he did vote for or against the various articles, but his high prestige maintained collegiality and kept the delegates at their labors. The delegates designed the presidency with Washington in mind and allowed him to define the office once elected. After the convention, his support convinced many, including the Virginia legislature, to vote for ratification. The new Constitution was ratified by all 13 states. Presidency, 1789-1797. The Electoral College elected Washington unanimously in 1789 and again in the 1792 election. He remains the only president to receive 100% of the electoral votes. John Adams was elected vice president. Washington took the oath of office as the first president under the Constitution for the United States of America April 30, 1789 at Federal Hall, New York City, although at first he had not wanted the position. The first United States Congress voted to pay Washington a salary of $25,000 a year, a large sum in 1789. Washington, already wealthy, declined the salary, since he valued his image as a selfless public servant. At the urging of Congress, however, he ultimately accepted the payment. A dangerous precedent could have been set otherwise, as the Founding Fathers wanted future presidents to come from a large pool of potential candidates, not just those citizens who could afford to do the work for free. Washington attended carefully to the pomp and ceremony of office, making sure that the titles and trappings were suitably Republican and never emulated European royal courts. To that end, he preferred the title Mr. President to the more majestic name suggested. Washington proved an able administrator, an excellent delegator and judge of talent and character. He held regular cabinet meetings to debate issues before making a final decision. In handling routine tasks, he was systematic, orderly, energetic, solicitous of the opinion of others, but decisive, intent upon general goals and the consistency of particular actions with them. Washington reluctantly served a second term as president. He refused to run for a third, establishing the customary policy of a maximum of 2 terms for president, which later became law by the 22nd Amendment to the Constitution. Domestic issues. Washington was not a member of any political party and hoped that they would not be formed out of fear of the conflict and stagnation that could cause governance. His closest advisors, however, formed 2 factions, setting the framework for the future first party system. Secretary of Treasury Alexander Hamilton had bold plans to establish the national credit and build a financially powerful nation and form the basis of the Federalist Party. Secretary of State Thomas Jefferson, founder of the Jeffersonian Republicans, strenuously opposed Hamilton's agenda, but Washington favored Hamilton over Jefferson. In 1791, Congress imposed an excise on distilled spirits, which led to protests in frontier districts, especially Pennsylvania. By 1794, Washington ordered the protesters to appear in U.S. District Court. The protests turned into full-scale riots known as the Whiskey Rebellion. The Federal Army was too small to be used, so Washington invoked the Militia Act of 1792 to summon the militias of Pennsylvania, Virginia, and several other states. The governor sent the troops, and Washington took command, marching into the rebellious districts. There was no fighting, but Washington's forceful action proved the new government could protect itself. It also was one of only 2 times that a sitting president would personally command the military in the field. These events marked the first time under the new Constitution that the federal government used strong military force to exert authority over the states and citizens. Foreign Affairs. In 1793, the revolutionary government of France and diplomat Edmond Charles Genet called Citizen Genet to America. Genet issued letters of marque and reprisal to American ships so they could capture British merchant ships. He attempted to turn popular sentiment toward American involvement in the French war against Britain by creating a network of democratic-republican societies in major cities. Washington rejected this interference in domestic affairs, demanded the French government recall Genet, and denounced his societies. To normalize trade relations with Britain, remove them from Western forts, and resolve financial debts left over from the Revolution, Hamilton and Washington designed the Jay Treaty. It was negotiated by John Jay and signed on November 19, 1794. The Jeffersonians supported France and strongly attacked the treaty. Washington and Hamilton, however, mobilized public opinion and won ratification by the Senate by emphasizing Washington's support. The British agreed to depart their forts around the Great Lakes. The Canadian-U.S. boundary was adjusted, numerous pre-revolutionary debts were liquidated, and the British opened their West Indies colonies to American trade. Most importantly, the treaty avoided war with Britain and instead brought a decade of prosperous trade with Britain. It angered the French and became a central issue in political debates. Supreme Court appointments. George Washington appointed 12 justices to the Supreme Court during his presidency. Washington's farewell address, issued as a public letter in 1796, was one of the most influential statements of American political values. Drafted primarily by Washington himself, with help from Hamilton, it gives advice on the necessity and importance of national union, the value of the Constitution and the rule of law, the evils of political parties, and the proper virtues of a Republican people. In the address, he called morality a necessary spring of popular government. He said, "Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle," making the point that the value of religion is for the benefit of society as a whole. Washington's public political address warned against foreign influence in domestic affairs and American meddling in European affairs. He warned against bitter partisanship in domestic politics and called for men to move beyond partisanship and serve the common good. He called for an America wholly free of foreign attachments, saying the United States must concentrate primarily on American interests. He counseled friendship and commerce with all nations, but warned against involvement in European wars and entering into long-term entangling alliances. The address quickly set American values regarding religion and foreign affairs.